What would you do without Jesus, the shepherd of my valley? Lord, I just couldn't walk this road alone. When I'm hungry, he feeds me. When I'm thirsty, he's my water. I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? When I need someone to talk to, he's always there to listen. When arms fold without me, he wraps me in his bosom. What would I do without Jesus, the shepherd of my valley? I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? When my tears flow like a river, when my burdens are high as the mountain, when the one that I've counted on has let me down, that's when I go. He's the one that I can count on. I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? When I need someone to talk to, he's always there to listen. When arms fold without me, he wraps me in his bosom. What would I do without Jesus, the shepherd of my valley? I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do?
Well, we would like to give a good morning to each one here in Essex. And as I mentioned, we'll give a good morning to each one in the Philippines, that God will bless them as the message goes forth. And I invite you to open up your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 19. I believe the Lord gave me this thought some weeks ago, and I had it written down, and it was a blessing to me. A challenge to me. I hope it's a challenge to you also and to those that will hear it. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin to read. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of life. Dear Lord, we're thankful for an opportunity to be in the house of God. Dear Lord, we're thankful for a place that we're able to gather together under freedom, dear Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, we don't have to do it in hiding. We don't have to do it in secretive. But dear Lord, we're thankful for the blessings that you give to us, dear Lord. We're thankful for the written word, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we're thankful that we, as Brother Walter mentioned about the birth of Christ, and dear Heavenly Father, he didn't just, the story of just a baby isn't the main story, but dear Lord, he grew up, and he walked among men, and he showed us how to live, and dear Heavenly Father, he willfully went to the cross, dear Lord, and he willingly died, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we're thankful for that, dear Lord. And he arose on that third day and ascended back up into heavens and sat on the right hand side of the Father to make intercession for us, dear Lord. And he became our Savior, dear Heavenly Father. And we're thankful for that, dear Lord. And dear Heavenly Father, as we quoted those types of scriptures and the thought, dear Lord, it's very elementary, so to speak, to the saints and very common for us to understand, but to the world, this is a message that they cannot comprehend. And Lord, if the world would just receive this message, those few words that I just said, what a wonderful, as we sang the song, a wonderful Christ we have, dear Lord. So dear Lord, we ask you to be with us, help us. We know that the word is powerful. We spoke a few weeks ago that it is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And dear Heavenly Father, we know that the word is powerful, that can reach down in the depths of sin, dear Lord, no matter how far away we've gone from God, how destructive our life has been, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, you can save our soul, and you can lift us up out of that and put our feet on a solid rock and establish our goings, dear Heavenly Father. So, Lord, we ask you to be with us as we look into the word this morning. Dear Lord, we ask you to help each and every one of us. Dear Lord, as I mentioned, the thought was a blessing to me. Dear Lord, help us to listen attentively, dear Heavenly Father, in a great way, that we may receive something out of the word, and we'll certainly thank you for that. We ask you to anoint me, anoint the word, that we'll do as you have us to do. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. In Matthew chapter 19, familiar story here, picking up in verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep thy commandments. And he said unto him, Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. My title for this morning is, Do you have your eyes on the goal or Christ? Do you have your eyes on the goal or Christ? Many times in my preaching, I make that comment. And I've made it many a times. And I thought it was kind of ironic as I put the message together. And I'm going to go a little bit deeper with the particular thought. And many times in preaching, I said we have to keep our eyes on the goal. And my title this morning, Do we have our eyes on the goal or on Christ? Now, our goal is heaven. That's our goal. Heaven. And everything beyond that, we don't understand a lot of those things, but our goal is heaven. I think Brother Walter made the comment during the preliminary. He says, I want to see Christ. And then he said, in heaven. You know, we can see Christ faith by faith. We can have an understanding a little bit. But the actual meeting, the actual bow before him, the actual giving praise and thanksgiving for what he's done for us. But I want to do that in heaven. I want to make heaven my end of life. I want to make it to heaven. Our goal is heaven. And that is where Christ is. Many times in our lives, we do some traveling, and we have a certain destination, and we may say, you know, I'm going to Florida. I'm going to Kansas. Some of you have relatives in different places, Oklahoma, or wherever, California. We may be going to some place, but one of the particular reasons that we're going there is because there's someone there that has our hearts tied. Whether we have children, whether we have a parents, whether we have a brother or a sister or a relative, if we say I have a daughter in Florida, if I say we're going to Florida, or you say you're going somewhere particular, most of the time in the back of my mind, you're not or I'm not going to this particular place because I want to go there for the events that are there. I'm going there to see someone. I'm going there to be with someone. And a lot of times we don't say, well, I want to get there. I want to go to Florida or I want to go somewhere to be with my relative so we can go out to restaurants and have dinner. So we can go and visit this place. So we can go do sightseeing. So there are things that we can do. That's not the main goal of us going to Florida necessarily or Oklahoma or California or wherever we may be going. That's not the main goal. Our main goal is that we desire to see that person that lives there. Now, I know we go on vacations and all, but for the most part, what I'm making relationship to is when we're going somewhere particular, it's because we want to see a particular person. Heaven is our goal, and Jesus Christ is the desire that we want to make heaven our home. That's where we want to go. Too many times, people will say, people will want to go to heaven, and their goal is not that in heaven, but the things that are in heaven. People desire to go to heaven because of the things that are in heaven. In the same relationship, if I'm going to go to Florida to see Kimmy, my desire, this isn't my main desire, but my main desire is that I want to go to a particular restaurant. I want to see this. I want to see that. No, my main desire is to go visit a person that, a loved one, a family member. That's our desire for going to that particular place, and more oftentimes. But many times, people of the world, they want to make heaven their home for the things that they think are in heaven, the joys and the pleasures and the happiness and the blessings that are in heaven. And their main objective is not to see Christ. That's what they want to go to heaven for. Many people, they want to go to heaven for many different reasons other than that. We see here the rich young man, I believe, was the same scenario. The rich man, he came to Jesus Christ and he said, "What must I do that I can inherit?" In verse 16, he goes, "What can I do that I may have eternal life?" That was what he was looking for. He wanted to get through the doors of heaven, but to have that eternal rest, to have that eternal life. And I know that's a part of being a child of God, but that was what his main desire was. His main goal is to have eternal life. You know, many times we think about people that are rich, that are wealthy, and a lot of us in here are rich. God bless us. But I'm talking about people that are millionaires and billionaires. For them to go somewhere, travel down the road, and, you know, I'm getting a little tired. Let's stop and rest somewhere. Well, there's a Super 8. Not in their life, but they stop at a Super 8. They have to go to the Marriott, the Hiltons. They have to have all the places, or sometimes some hotels, rooms can be several thousand dollars a night. That's where they have to go. And the same thing with people that are rich in things of the world. They're not desiring the things of Christ. They're desiring the things that Christ can offer them in heaven if they were to make it. That's what their desire is. That's what their hope is. This rich young man, he said, "My desire, I want eternal life." It wasn't an interest in Christ. It wasn't his interest in Christ. He said, "I want eternal life." And he said there, he talked to Jesus, and Jesus gave him some things, honor your father and mother, do this, that, and everything. He goes, "I've done these things. What do I lack yet?" He says, "Sell what you have and come follow me." The rich young man went away sorrowful because his riches, he had great possessions, and wasn't willing to sacrifice that for Jesus Christ. Are we following Christ? Or are we desiring the things that heaven holds? Many people, you've heard many people say over the years, "I want to walk the streets of gold." You've heard people say that. "I want to walk the streets of gold." And I'll add a couple other things here. And I pondered this many times when I think about thoughts like that. And I can honestly and truly say there is not one thing in my mind that beyond Christ on the other side in heaven that I would desire or like. Say, "Lord, this is what I want in heaven." Not one thing. Because I believe it's going to be so far greater than any of our imagination or expectation. I can't even fathom what's there beyond Christ. But many times people say, "I want to make heaven my home. I want to walk the streets of gold." They're not interested in Christ. They're interested in the material things. They're interested in the glories and the blessings and the great things that heaven may have to hold for us. I want to see the gates of pearl. I want to visit. I want to see the loved ones. My heart really aches and sad sometimes when I know people of the world and a family member has died. And certainly it's a saddened thing, but we have no assurance that they made heaven. They never spent time in services. They never acknowledged that they were children of God. And they died, and we have no comfort that they made heaven their home. And people's desire, I want to go see that person in heaven. Whether it's mom and dad, whether it's a brother, whether it's a sister, whether it's children, whatever it is. That's what these desire. Well, what about Christ? No, that's what I want to see more. I want to make heaven. I want to go to heaven so I can see, and not that they have a knowledge that they're not even there. But that's what they desire. My goal, I want to go to heaven to see my family. What about Christ? No, I'm not really worried about that. Are we following Christ? Are we following Christ in our lives today? You know, when Jesus started his ministry, and several of the disciples, the 12 main disciples, when he met them, what did he say? Follow me. And what did they do? They left their occupation and followed Christ. Some of them were working at the tax table. I think it was a Luke, I believe. Was it Luke or Matthew? One of them was a tax collector. They were working there at taxes. I think it was James and them and John and all. They were fishermen. They left their nets. They left their nets and followed Christ. Many people, they left the occupation. They left what they had and followed Jesus Christ. They found something more important, more valuable, more that they needed to have other than the things of this world. Too many people desire the things of this world, and the problem is they have a longing and love for the things of this world, and they think they can carry those things over into heaven, and that's what they're following after, not that of Christ. I don't know what to expect, as I mentioned a little bit ago. Heaven has for us. We have in our songbook, titled this song says, Heaven holds all to me. Earth has no treasures but perish with using, however precious they be. Yet there's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me. Out on the hills of that wonderful country, happy, contented, and free. Loved ones are waiting and watching my coming. Heaven holds all to me. Why should I long for the world's and its sorrow, wherein that home or the sea, millions are singing the wonderful story. Heaven holds all to me. Heaven holds all to me. Brighter its glory will be. Joy without measure will be my treasure. Heaven holds all to me. I love the song. It's a beautiful song. But in all those verses, and I don't discount the song in any way, he never mentions Christ. All those things are true. All those things the saints also desire. That joy, that part of joy without measure will be my treasure because of Christ. Because of Jesus Christ, heaven holds all to me. Christ is where I want to see or who I want to see and where I want to be at. All those other things, as what we used to say, is icing on the cake. The blessings that are going to be there. But when people reverse things and they don't put Christ first, they put the things that the heaven has, the joys of heaven, when they put that first and that's what they desire, the problem is they're going to miss heaven's place. Are we following Christ? Let's go to John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, most of you know the story here, but Jesus says to the Jews here in verse 56, as he was dealing with them, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad.
Abraham's desire was to see Christ. Abraham's desire, and Jesus says he rejoiced. He rejoiced to see my day. He longed to see. Do you long to see Christ? Is that your hope, your desire? I long to see Christ. I long to stand before him one day and bow before him and thank him personally. The Bible says, we read a couple weeks ago, that he'll wipe all tears away from us. I don't know if we'll have joyful tears, happy tears, wonderful tears, but those sad tears will be wiped away from our eyes. But he says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day and was glad. Amen. That's what our goal is, saints. That's what our desire is, to see Jesus Christ. Everything beyond that, we're not, as I said earlier, I don't know if I've even considered anything beyond that. I've often mentioned, what do I desire to see? I want to see the throne of God. I want to see the magnitude, the glory, the blessings, the angels singing, all that. I want to see the glory of the throne of God. That's what I want to see. Other than all the things behind that, I don't have a clue. I don't think, I can't even fathom what's back there. Because I believe it'll be greater than even our greatest imagination. Jesus said Abraham rejoiced to see it and was glad. Do you long to see Christ? I asked you that question this morning. And I hope that question is in your mind. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, yes, I long to see Christ. You may have mom and dad there. You may have family members there. I remember some time years ago, I wasn't saved too long. I don't remember the song. I believe Chippy may have written the song. And Brother Davis would let me listen to it. And it talked about when I get to heaven. I don't remember the song at all, but it seemed the main part of when I get to heaven, come see me, come find me. And Brother Davis made that comment. He says, you know, of course, our age. If our age goes well, he'll make his journey on before I will. But he says, when we get to heaven, he says, come see me. And my comment back that time, like I say, I wasn't saved long. I said, I'd like to see Grandpa first. I was only 1 month old when he died. I've heard a lot about him through the saints and through different ones. And I understand that part of it. That's a part of it. And that is a part of it. But I want to see Christ.
Yes, first of all.
I want to see him. I want to see Christ. Because without Christ, everything else is nothing. My grandfather wouldn't be there. Abraham wouldn't be there. Moses wouldn't be there. Nobody would be there without Jesus Christ. You say, well, they died before Christ came. But without Christ, they still couldn't have made it. Because through Christ dying on the cross and shedding his precious blood for the ones that had faith and those sacrifices back in the Old Testament, his blood covered all those sins that they did back then because of their faith. There have been many people, no doubt, they did sacrifices not in faith, believing that Christ would cover their sin. They didn't make heaven their home. Do you long to see Christ? You know, there was a man in the Bible named Zacchaeus. He desired to see Christ. There were many people around him, crowds, thrones, people just thrown in Jesus Christ, always constantly. They wanted to see him. They wanted to be around him. I think I told you this story one time. I was pretty young. I don't know how old I was, maybe 10, maybe a little bit older. I don't know if I was that old. But my dad, one of his favorite singers was Marty Robbins. Many of you remember. And they went to a very small theater to see him, and he sang and things, and at the end he walked down the aisle that we were sitting at and to leave, and my dad moved over to the end of the aisle and trying to shake your hands and everything. And I remember after it was over, my mom asked him, did you shake his hand? He goes, well, I think I touched his hand with about 10 other people, you know. And then even as 10 years old, I can remember thinking how vain that was, really. He's a man. You know, and that trying to shake a person, he's just a man. And that's the way they were with Jesus. I want to get to Jesus, but they wanted to get to Jesus for the wrong reason. Zacchaeus desired to see Christ. And he ran ahead of the crowd.
I'd imagine he wasn't a young man. He was a tax collector. He'd probably been doing it for a while. He'd imagine he wasn't very young.
So he climbed up into what they called a sycamore tree for a purpose. I want to see him. I just want to see him. Now Zacchaeus may have had enough influence and authority to make arrangements to meet with Christ personally. Or maybe he didn't. But he desired, I want to see who this man is talking about. And as he climbed up into that tree, you know what? I don't know how close Jesus was to him, but I know there was a crowd around him. But Jesus took notice that someone desired to see him. See, he knows you and I. He knows if our desire is that of Christ or what's on the other side of Christ. If our desire is to follow Christ, our goal is to follow Christ, or we want the joys on the other side, we want to use Christ to get to those things, he knows that. And Jesus Christ made a special point to go over where Zacchaeus, he says, Zacchaeus, come down. And as they talked a little bit, he goes, today salvation has come to your house because your desire was to see Jesus Christ.
Turn over to Luke. I'm not going to give you the whole chapter because some of you like to read the chapter before verse before I'm finished. Luke chapter 23. I'm going to read some of the verse and I'll give you a verse here in a moment. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him of a season. Sounded like a good thing. Herod desired to see him. He said he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see of him for a long time, for a long season. Herod heard that Christ was coming to him to see him, and he longed to see him. Zacchaeus climbed a tree to see him, and he got blessed. Herod desired to see him, but that's not the end of the verse. We're in verse 8 if you haven't found that already. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he desired to see of him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and this is a bad part of it, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. He wasn't interested in Christ. He was interested in the other things of Christ, what was behind him. He was interested in seeing a miracle. He was interested in seeing some of the things he had heard. But Jesus didn't do those things. And you read on down through there, it says Herod and his men mocked him, made a robe and put around him and sent him back. Go on back to Pilate. We don't want you. He didn't get what Jesus had for him, so he was no use of Jesus in Herod's life. He sent him back. Many times people use Jesus as an emergency. You know that? I only call on him when I have need of him. When I'm in have problems, situations. Around this room, well, there's only one in this room, several places around this church, and in the very back over there, it is called a fire extinguisher. I'm not asking you to raise your hands or anything. But if there was a fire to break out, how many of you are very familiar how to use a fire extinguisher? Go grab it off the wall. What do I do? You know, it's very simple, very basic. You think, okay, I just pull the pin, squeeze the handle. But there's some instructions on it. Tells you how to work it and things like that. How many people would grab it and maybe have to read the instructions? What exactly do I do? What do I do? Those things. We're not familiar with it. Why? Because it's only something in just in case of an emergency. And that's what people use Jesus for. Just in case I need him. When Jesus walked on this earth, many followed him for the benefits. Many followed him because he healed their bodies. Many followed him because he fed them. Many followed him because of the miracles. Very few followed Jesus because they seen that he was the Christ. He was the Savior. Jesus had gone into a certain village one time, and he entered into Martha's house. And Jesus was there, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. I believe she was like a sponge, absorbing every word he said. But Martha was busy of life. Now, be honest, it's probably not a one of us in here that wouldn't have been a Martha. We have a special guest coming to our house, whether it's Christmas, whether it's a family affair or whatever. If you have someone come in your house, what do? You spend probably days making sure every single thing is in its place. Everything's clean. Maybe light a couple candles, do things. My wife, during Christmas time, especially with the grandkids, it isn't because of it, but even a little bit more. Christmas time, she spends countless hours decorating the house. She loves it. I learned many years ago, you just let her do it. You know, it's like you're going overboard too much. You know why you do that? You just let her do it. Help her a little bit here, there if you can, whatever she wants, but just because there's something there that they don't feel they've accomplished what they wanted to accomplish until they feel everything is in its place. Well, Martha was that way. And in a sense, she's criticized here in the story. But she was having Jesus Christ there, and she wanted everything to be taken care of well. Those are there. She, in a sense, I guess you could say, she wanted to please and impress, be a good servant to those that are there. But Mary was at the feet of Christ. And he said to Martha, he goes, Martha, you're troubled about a lot of things. He goes, and you're catering and everything, but Mary has chosen that good part. That good part. See, we can be so busy in life. And we're so busy in life, taking care of this, taking care of that, taking care of this. But there's something our soul needs to be taken care of, to making sure that our main goal is following Christ and looking towards Christ above all things. Sometimes we may need to leave some things alone, that we can spend extra time in prayer, a special time in prayer, or in reading the Word. Many times we feel like we got to do this, we got to do that, and if I have time, I'll squeeze in prayer. Let's take that time first. Spend quality time worshiping and serving Christ. That's why the pews are empty this morning. Because there's too many Marthas in the world. They're not necessarily out there doing sinful things. They're out there taking care of things that they desire other than their soul. Jesus taught them one time, unless you're willing to eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. Unless Jesus Christ's life is our main objective, you have no part with me. You have no part with me. And many people, the Bible says that many were offended and walked no more with him. Jesus Christ is the door. All the blessings, all the rewards, all the good things that are necessary. Understand what I'm saying? When I'm saying behind the door, behind Christ, when he says, "Thou good and faithful servant, enter into the kingdom of God prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Enjoy the things that I have for you."
All those things, we have to get past Christ first, and we have to come through the door. He has to accept us, and we have to accept Him to receive those good things. But too many people are willing to try to, are trying to get around the door, trying to go through the door. Jesus even made that comment one time, because there are many people that are trying to climb up another way. They're trying to get to heaven another way. They're trying to get to the reward another way. But Jesus says they're thieves and robbers. And they won't make it. You have to come through the door.
Do we deny ourselves anything for Christ's sake? What do we set aside in our lives for Christ? Let's go to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, let's pick up in verse 14. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it was rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their place. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks and the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lord of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? We still believe that he's coming back one day. The Bible says that the skies will be open and Christ will ascend back or descend back to earth. Has there ever been a time in your life, maybe you're busy working, and an unusual noise happens? Maybe some loud boom or something, and you stop for a second. That's it. I always think, I pray, and this verse here, it says, everyone in here, kings, great men, rich men, captains, mighty men, bondmen, free men, on the day that Christ comes back, if your goal is not Jesus Christ, if your desire isn't Jesus Christ, if your goal is something other than that, that will be you. The day that Christ comes back, you will hide yourself. I know it says as lightning from the west to the east, it's going to happen in a second. I don't know what time frame, I don't know how quick, but the Bible, it says you'll hide yourself. You'll be fearful. I say, Lord, by the grace of God, when I'm working one day and I'm busy doing something and I hear the sound of God, I want to be able to stand up and say, oh Lord, come. I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to have a fear. I want to say, thank God, today is the day that Christ comes, that we will inherit the eternal heavens of with Jesus Christ. But there will come a day where many people, where their goal is not that of Christ, that day will be a sad day. That day will be a terrible day. If our eyes are not on Christ, people will cry for the mountains to fall, the rocks to cover them, but there will be no retreat. Malachi says it will be a great and dreadful day. You know, people dream a lot of times of what they would do with the money if they ever were to win the lottery. I want to buy a house. I want to buy a car. I want to buy this. I want to buy that. I want to get those things. And people are that way in life. They're not worried about Christ. They want the material things. They want the things that satisfy, or I shouldn't say, because those material things never satisfy. They want those things that bring us temporary joy without the cost.
We have to accept Jesus Christ.
You know, many of you know I enjoy to bow hunt. And years ago when I first started getting into it, and they used to tell you that when a big buck comes through the woods, they say one thing you'll struggle with is you'll be looking at that rack. And you're looking, wow, look at that rack. And your concentration breaks from making an accurate shot. I found that to be true when I was young. And over the years, sometimes I may have harvested an animal. And they said, well, how big was he? I have no idea. I knew he was what I wanted, but my concentration had to be somewhere else. Elisha and Elijah were together, and Elisha desired to have a double portion of what Elijah had. And he said, if you see me when I go, you'll receive it. You know the story. They were walking together, and a chariot of horses that were on fire separated the two of them. Imagine the concentration that he had to have to keep his eyes fixed on Elijah. I imagine it was tremendous to keep his eyes fixed and not to veer off of that. Saints, I believe, and take this last thought here for this morning, I believe that God will do that for you and I, or to you and I, to see if our true desire or that of Christ. He will send us things to see if our eyes will be taken off of Christ. Well, I love this, or I desire, or fall in attraction to these things, and get our eyes off Christ. Because heaven is worth it all. But if I miss Christ, if I lose my eyes off of Christ, if I get my eyes veered from Christ and Christ isn't my main affection, my main desire, my main love, the one I want to follow, I'll lose my reward. As just the same as Elisha would have lost his reward if he'd just for a second taken his eyes off to look at the chariot, look back, he's gone. We have to keep our eyes fixed on Christ and not to let anything come between us. Are we going to keep our eyes fixed on Christ to receive our reward? And this morning, do you have your eyes fixed on Christ? Not the things behind Him. Not the rewards behind Him. Heaven holds all to me. Joy without me. I thank God for all those things. I desire all those things. But let me tell you what. The first thing I have to do is live my life following Jesus Christ, to where when I stand before Him one day, I have to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now you can inherit the things that I have for you." But unless I do that, unless I keep my eyes fixed on Jesus Christ and follow Him, follow His word, obedient to His word, obedient to the Spirit of God that He gives to us, I'm not going to make it. Lord, help us. Do you have, and the last thought from my title, do you have your eyes on the goal? What's behind Christ? The happy things, the joyful things, or do you have your eyes fixed on Christ? May the Lord bless you as we have a song.